Conversations with College Readiness is a podcast featuring staff members from the Georgia Department of Education's College Readiness and Talent Development Team. These podcasts will provide information to support Georgia's AP community of students, teachers, and administrators. Welcome to Conversations with College Readiness. Hello, everyone. My name is Martha Smith, and I'm here with Allison Coker, and we both work with the College Readiness Team at the Georgia Department of Education.
Hi, everyone. Welcome to our podcast.
One of our primary responsibilities is to support the AP program and share information with Georgia educators. Today, we want to discuss the changes to the AP processes for the 2019-2020 school year. To help us discuss these changes, we have two special guests, and I'll let them introduce themselves.
Good morning. My name is Debbie Kelly, and I am the Gifted Program Coordinator as well as the Social Studies Program Coordinator for the Paulding County School District. This is my 28th year in education, and we were very blessed this year as a district to be part of the AP pilot program, and we were introduced to some of the changes ahead of time.
Okay, my name is Robin Davis. I'm an assistant principal at Paulding County High School. This is my 29th year in education, and I'm also the AP coordinator for our school and was part of the implementation of the pilot program this year.
Debbie and Robert are the perfect guests for this podcast. Paulding County was one of the pilot districts that utilized the new ordering platform and implemented some of the other changes from College Board. We're going to ask them to share their experiences with these changes and their best practices for making the 2019-2020 school year as smooth as possible.
All right, let's dive right in and talk to them about the ordering process. One benefit of these new changes that College Board has been promoting is that the exam ordering process should be easier. So we would love for them to tell us a little bit about the platform and the ordering process.
Okay, the first thing I would recommend that you do is really look through your manual one. That's the one that tells you how to set up everything in the platform. I would also recommend looking at some of the webinars that the College Board has put out as well. They kind of helped me figure out what I was looking at when I opened up the platform. The first thing they're going to ask you to do is set up your teachers in the platform. Now, your teachers can do this themselves, but I did this for them. They always seem to have enough on their plates, and it was pretty simple and easy to do. Once you have your teachers in there, you set them up by their courses they teach for first semester and second semester if you have block courses. For traditional, it would just be one semester. Once you've done that, you can generate what the College Board calls join codes, and each class has their own join code, and students have to use that join code to register for the course on the College Board platform. So I printed those out. I also set up times for our students to go to the labs, our computer labs, and actually register with those join codes. They have to have a College Board account before they can do this. So if you have students that are new to AP, you will probably have to help them set up their College Board account. Now, once that's set up, if they've forgotten their password or something like that, they have to contact the College Board themselves. They will not let us do that for them.
So did you have many students forget their College Board access?
Oh, yes. That's something that happens regularly. But I did let them call right then. I had a phone. I let them use their phone, and they would call right then and take care of it. If I sent them out on their way to do it, it was less likely to happen quickly as if I let them do it right then.
Now, Allison and I were at a summer workshop for AP coordinators, and that was something that did come up from some of the other pilot schools, is that so many students have been taking PSAT or SAT, and they have accounts, or their parents set up their accounts and they couldn't remember passwords. And College Board did say that they have created a system that will make this a little bit easier and almost allow them to create, it sounded like a temporary password, and then they can merge their accounts.
Well, that will be awesome because it was not in place last year, so that would be a great thing for everybody.
Yeah.
So it sounds to me like you've already mentioned two best practices. One, set up computer lab time for the students to go in and use their join codes for their courses. And two, make sure there's phone access during that time because many students forget their College Board username and password.
That's correct. And it made everything a lot easier to do that. It made it easier for the teachers as well. They didn't have to go back behind the students and double check that they'd done it because they all did it at the same time. Now, the ones that for some reason or another could not set their or join the class at that time, I went back and found them and stayed after them and took them to a computer lab and we kept going. It's very important that you print a copy of the student rosters for each class and compare it to the students who have joined the class on the platform. That way you know if you're missing anyone. There is an option to set a default to yes or no, going to take the test. I set the default code to yes, and then when we went back to check to see if students were taking it, once they've registered for the exam, paid for the exam, that's when I would go in and change it to no if they decided not to take the exam. It was easier to do that because we had more take the exam than more that did not take the exam.
One question that I know came up in our summer workshops was the ability of teachers, could they move and drop students in the AP registration and ordering platform, or did you leave that up to yourself, the coordinator?
They can do it. However, I left it up to myself because I'm the one they pay through. And if I don't know they've dropped an exam, I don't know whether to charge them the late fee or cancellation fee or something like that. So because the money comes through me, they had to drop or add through me.
And will you continue that the second year?
Yes.
Now that you have more information?
Yes, absolutely. And that way I know if money needs to be refunded, that kind of thing. If the teachers do that, they may not always remember to tell me.
Robin, you mentioned the late fees and the drop fees. The College Board is instituting a $40 late registration fee this year and a $40 fee for students who drop their test order after the deadline. Did you collect that $40 up front, or did you have to find the students at a later date if they had one of those instances occur?
We called it a down payment for the exam. So they had to pay at least the $40 registration and down payment in order for me to order the exam. That way, if they did change their mind, I already had the $40 to take care of the cancellation fee. If they decided to order it later, they also had to go ahead and give me the $40 fee in order to cover the late fee. If they didn't give me that, I did not order the exam.
How did your students and your parents feel about the new policies that College Board has put in place with the $40 exam fee cancellation and late fee exam registration?
I feel like I didn't get a lot of pushback for that fee because we explained up front in a letter to the parents that this was the new College Board policy. This is not something the school system set. It came from College Board, and it's not something that was in our control to change. They understood ahead of time that this would happen if they changed their mind, so I felt like we did a good job explaining it to the parents.
I think that sounds like another best practice, making sure that you send a letter home to the parents and students early in the school year so that they understand about the fees associated with AP testing.
Yes, and I think that's why we didn't get very much complaining about it.
And then you discussed, I know you're on block schedule, so how was it, did you use the November 15th deadline? Did you have a preferred deadline? I know you had to do this twice. Mm-hmm. Schools that have traditional bell schedules will not have to do this twice. But did you do a preferred deadline that was before the November 15th?
Yes, we did. And we as a district, the other AP coordinators and I met together and we set those deadlines so that every school had the same deadlines. those deadlines were put in the letter that we sent home as well. I would suggest that you do your deadline at least a week before the actual deadline, because you have to go in and make those changes. For students who decide not to take the exam, you have to go change everything to no. And that those things have to be done ahead of time. Once you hit the submit button, you have to go back and change. It's more difficult to change it. So you want to make sure that you have everything done ahead of time.
So I did like the idea that your policy was the same with the other schools in your district too. Mm-hmm. And I think that's another best practice that larger districts may want to consider, a similar policy across the board and not have schools with different policies and deadlines. I like that idea.
Debbie, were there other things from the district perspective that, besides deadlines, that you tried to make similar across your schools?
Well, what we did to try to be, at least to have everybody on board and be consistent, if you will, with what was coming, is we started the school year off last year in July, where I met with every AP teacher in the district. And then that way, they were able to, like subjects, were able to collaborate together about the new changes, as well as just everybody had the same information. So that way, everybody was on board. We communicated exactly what some of the changes were, how the process was going to work. We also talked about we're a pilot, so we're going to have trial and error. So it's okay to get frustrated. And so that was something we did across the district, is we just have the meetings, and then we continue to do that throughout the year. It's just I continue to, via our department chairs, we would talk about getting feedback from teachers about how it's going. And if there was any feedback of, hey, this isn't working, or maybe this would make it a little easier, whatever it was, College Board was very receptive of our feedback, and so they did go in and tweak some things. So that was very good for us being the pilot, because we were able to find some of those glitches or just some processes that we thought might make it a little easier for everybody. But that kind of kept everybody on board across the district. And then of course I have some great AP coordinators at each school, and they really just stepped up and came together, and they themselves, like Robin said, just came together and said, hey, what can we do to be more consistent? So, and then that information too was reciprocated to the teachers. So we tried to just make sure that teachers, AP coordinators, and then they, AP coordinators to parents, just made sure everybody was on the same page.
I think consistent messaging across your district is really an important best practice. That sounds like a great plan. Debbie, with some of the things that you're doing across the county consistently, have you addressed the change in the AP audit where new AP teachers or teachers of new AP courses have to submit their audit so much earlier, get started on the process in order to have access to the new resources?
Well, one thing, and yes, this has become like something that we had to address, and a couple of things that we're doing, we are meeting, we're fortunate in our district to have a day that the district can meet with people during pre-planning. So we are meeting with department chairs at each high school, of which we are going to be talking about AP audit. I am going to also check to see, do we have any teachers that do not know what the process is itself. So we're kind of going through that, as well as, I know that Robin may have some feedback on this too, but I'm meeting with all the AP coordinators, and that's something we're going to talk about just to make sure that everybody is ready to roll come August 1. That's when we start school here in Paulding, but just to make sure. So that's something we are giving, is making sure we're reaching out to all of our AP teachers as they come back to school this week during pre-planning, make sure that they understand that they've actually done it. We're giving them, I have a packet of information that I'm going to provide them, as well as just that communication, as well as having the AP coordinators after our meeting will kind of address some of the things that we're also going to continue to do, just to make sure everybody is ready on August 1st.
Thank you.
What do you think teachers are most excited about for this year, and even what are you as an AP coordinator and district AP coordinator excited about for this year?
Well, I know that from talking to teachers last year during the pilot, of course, every AP teacher was super excited to have access to the test bank. I think that has a long time coming. That's one of the things AP teachers have really been pushing College Board for. So they were super excited about that. We're also just excited about just the new curriculum guides. In talking to some of my AP teachers throughout the summer at the end of last year, they're really just excited to see how everything now, it just seems succinct and it's very consistent. And so they're very excited about that and just having those the access to the different resources that College Board is providing. So that's some of the things that the teachers have talked about. And I'll just kind of back up just a little bit, because anyone who's going through it for the first time this year, do expect kind of your teachers to be very anxious. And so at the beginning of the year, they might not know exactly, they just might feel like they're lost because this is a new process. Teachers sometimes don't jump right on board with change. And so, but by the time we got to October, November of that last year, I just heard great things from the teachers. I didn't hear a lot of complaining or negative things. They really liked what was coming. And so it just took that initial getting used to. So again, the beginning of school last year was rough. I will say that, but just because everything was so new, it was new for all of us. It was rough for the AP coordinators at the schools. It was rough from a district perspective, and it was rough from the teachers just getting used to the changes. But once we worked through it, we heard great things. And so we're just excited to continue on with that. And we're just excited from a district level to continue to build AP programs. And so we're not just offering AP courses.
Yeah. And I know Allison and I just came back from AP annual conference, and we did, we were around, of course, a lot of AP teachers, and we saw the course exam descriptions and we saw some presentations. And the teachers are really, really excited and pleased to have these resources. And especially in Georgia, sometimes we have AP teachers that are in a building by themselves. They don't have a colleague teaching the same course. So I think these resources will really give them something to turn to and hopefully make their life a little bit easier as a teacher.
Okay. For an AP coordinator, I think you have some things to look forward to. I was pleasantly surprised on the pre-administration process. You don't have to spend all of that long time bubbling before the test. They now have labels that that the students will affix to their exams, and it made it so much easier. The other thing that I really liked was the invoicing process. It generated it for you. You didn't have to put in how many exams they were taking, how many free and reduced lunch students, that kind of thing. All of that was done for you once you had entered everything into the platform, and it was just a quick print the invoice and send it off. That was great. No more student packs. You don't have to deal with those anymore. So sorting at the exams was much easier. They send you the exams in the order that you can choose which way you want your label sorted, by the order of the exam or alphabetical by student. So those things made everything a lot easier as far as setting up your exam processes.
Giving the exam, all of that is the same, really. Mm-hmm. So really the changes the College Board have instituted for this year, it's providing extra support for teachers, providing extra support for students, and making it a different process for ordering exams. Mm-hmm. So I just want to recap a few things that you mentioned about a best practice and add any more that you can think of. But you said scheduling a lab for students so that they can join the class, making sure that there's a phone access, which probably isn't much of a problem with teenagers today. I think everybody has a phone. Making sure everyone has joined the courses by printing out rosters and comparing it to who has joined the courses online. Making sure that you send a letter home to parents and students giving as much detail about your school's ordering policies and your fee payment policies. And also, making sure it's a consistent message across the district so that every AP teacher and every AP student hears the same thing about expectations. Is there anything you'd like to add to that?
you've covered pretty much everything that we did this year. Again, we were, at first we were a little nervous about the pilot, but then we were glad we were in the pilot because then we could work through some things. But at the end, we really did find it to be beneficial to schools as far as AP coordinators as well as teachers.
And don't be afraid to call the College Board, because I did that a lot, and they'll be glad to answer all your questions. So it made things easier as well.
Well, thank you, Debbie Kelly from Paulding County Schools and Robin Davis from Paulding County High School. We appreciate you sharing your insights and your experiences about the new AP processes for this coming school year.
Thank you.